Well, good morning, everybody. Great to be with you this morning. Welcome to Salt Church. My name's Mike. I'm the pastor here at Salt Church. Great to have you here with us this morning in our school holidays. If you've got a Bible there, can I encourage you to open it, please, to John chapter 6. We're going to be working our way through the passage that was read for us by Pete this morning. And we're just considering the idea of Jesus being the bread of life. That's what we're doing together. I was just thinking it's a good thing that you guys are sitting down there and I'm up here all by myself. I'm currently marinating in tiger balm and the smell is horrendous. My eyes are watering. So if you keep your distance from me this morning, that's probably a good thing for you. Let's pray as we come to hear God's word together this morning, friends. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, we want to thank you that we can meet together. And we thank you that you've given us your word to feed upon in order to know you, the true and living God, and to believe in the one that you sent. And so we ask this morning that you'd help us to believe in the one that you sent, who came to give life to the world, who came to give life to us, that we might be satisfied and full and have eternal life in the Lord Jesus. So we pray now that you'd speak to us, that you'd help me to speak in a way that's faithful and clear. Please help me to speak well now, Lord, and help us to listen carefully to the things that you have to say to us about ourselves, about our life, and what it means to be in relationship with you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When life gets busy, we look for shortcuts. And one of the first things that we compromise is our diet. Simple, convenient, time-saving, cost-effective. Easy options, fast solutions, quick fixes, home delivery, takeaway, ready-made, easy meals. So that we can stay home and relax watching TV shows where other people do all the cooking. It's easier to grab a bite to eat on the run than it is to actually go for a run. More convenient to drive through than to plan and prepare a meal for yourself. 57% of Australians eat fast food once a week. Australians spend $90 a month on fast food. That's 32% of the weekly food budget. According to industry research reports, it's a decision driven by price, convenience, and comfort. But diets aren't the only place where we go looking for shortcuts, are they? In a fast-paced and uncertain world, we settle for easy option Christianity. Instead of doing the hard work of true discipleship, the slow and difficult work of following the crucified Christ, we look for discounted discipleship options. Simple, convenient, easy options, fast solutions, quick fixes. Church becomes more about attending events rather than authentic change and deep transformation. Church becomes about measuring statistics and metrics, tracking attendance and giving as a sign of spiritual health, rather than modelling and leading others. Churches get lost in the busyness of running a business, the weekly grind of putting on a weekly attraction just so that people might come along to it. Preaching and planning and programming are all necessary tasks, but tasks alone are incomplete to grow the church. Many churches have reduced their discipleship strategy to this five-fold approach. Show up on Sunday, read your Bible, pray, give, repeat. After 30 years or so of doing this, it's hoped that somehow you might look and act a little bit more like Jesus. But most people don't feel changed. They just feel older and perhaps a little bit more cynical. So if you're feeling old and cynical here this morning, unmoved rather than unchanged, I want you to hear these words from Jesus again in John chapter 6, verse 35. Have you got your Bible there? John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I just want you to slowly chew on that morsel for a moment. Digest them and let them feed your very starving soul. Whoever comes shall never go hungry. Whoever believes shall never thirst. Whoever comes is the most open invitation there could possibly be. Whoever is not an exclusive invitation, whoever includes everyone who hears it. So there's no restrictions here, no limits to the number of whoever's who come. They just need to come, They need to believe in him. It's an invitation to all you can eat. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. If you hunger and thirst, Jesus says, come. His invitation is for you. Whoever you are, whoever you happen to be, come, but never go hungry. Come with hunger, leave with contentment. Is this the Jesus that you know? Or have you settled for a simpler and easier version? We're in John chapter 6 together, and it all starts with Jesus clearing up some confusion, but this confusion only leads to more confusion. So everyone is now confused by all this confusion, which in itself is confusing. See the confusion with me, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They that find Jesus on the other side are the crowd that Jesus has just fed on the mountain. 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Jesus fed 5,000 very satisfied customers. And now the crowd is hungry for more, and so they've come looking for Jesus again. But Jesus knows what they're looking for. They only seek after him for what it is that he can give them. They don't seek him for who he is. They don't understand the sign. And so Jesus tells them what to look for instead. See it there, verse 27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. But instead of asking at this point, who is the Son of Man? They ask, what works should we be doing? Listen carefully to Jesus' reply, verse 29. I want you to see it there. Verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's it, friends. It's just this one thing. This is the work we need to do, believe in the one that he has sent. Although it's complicated to do, it never gets any more complex than this. This is everything we ever need to do, ever. This is what God wants you to do. In every moment, at every point, in all circumstances in your life, believe in the one that he has sent. And honestly, we could just end the sermon right here, call it a Sunday, and head out for an early coffee. But the crowd ask Jesus another question there in verse 30, so the coffee's going to have to wait. Verse 30, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Having just asked Jesus what works they should do, they ask him what works he's going to do. Now, just so there's no confusion about this, just so we're all very clear here, these are the same people who just ate bread. Jesus just fed them on a mountainside. Moses fed our fathers' bread in the wilderness. Moses fed our fathers' bread in the wilderness. They ate the bread from heaven. What trick are you now going to do and perform for us, Jesus? What work are you going to do? But already they're wrong here, aren't they? Because it wasn't Moses who fed them the bread in the desert, was it? It was God who fed his people in the wilderness. God gave them bread from heaven. But they don't want Jesus. They only want what Jesus can do for them. To the hungry crowd searching for food, who only want what Jesus can give them, for a people who've just asked for a sign and even quoted the Old Testament at him, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The bread that God gives is him. He. Look closely there, verse 33. He is the one who comes down from heaven. He is the one who gives life to the world. And yet still the crowd don't understand. Sir, give us this bread always, they ask. Give us this bread again and again. Can we get this stuff from DoorDash? But the bread of God that gives life isn't given repeatedly. It's not given again and again. God serves it up one time and one time only. Look there, verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you hear what it's saying? Whoever comes to Jesus never goes hungry. Whoever believes never thirsts for more. Sent by God, this is what Jesus came to do. He comes to give life. I am the bread of life. And that's exactly what Jesus gives, isn't it? Jesus gives eternal life and raises us up on the last day with him. But they still don't understand him. So they start to grumble about him. Jesus told them where he came from, but they didn't like what he said. They thought they knew better. Look there, verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Unsure about where Jesus came from, certain that they now know that they don't want him here with them. But they still miss the bit about the bread. They only heard that he came down from heaven. That's the bit they heard. That's the bit they're now complaining about. Jesus' origins are now in question. Where is it that Jesus really came from? Which is fascinating when you think about it, because if they really knew his father and mother, if they really knew the backstory on Joseph and Mary, well, let's just say that people have always questioned where Jesus has come from. But while they question his origins, their response to Jesus clearly reveals where they're from. Our behaviour always reveals our family likeness. It's how we know who we truly belong to. I mean, they mentioned the wilderness first and the problem about grumbling, especially about God, and all of a sudden it just starts to sound the same again, doesn't it? Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, the words on the screen behind me. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. The Old Testament people were hangry, so they grumbled against Moses. And they grumbled against God. They grumbled about the bread from heaven, bread rained down on them in the desert. And here they are now, friends, hangry again. And so they grumble again, like father, like son. But their fathers didn't like the father. And now these sons don't like the son. They grumble about him. They grumble about the bread that's come down from heaven. But Jesus says everyone who comes to him, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. They come because the Father draws them. See, Jesus isn't like the bread in the wilderness. Look there, verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. All who ate the bread in the wilderness died, friends. That's what happened. But the bread that Jesus gives, gives life forever. Jesus says he is the bread that gives life, and to have life is to eat of his flesh. In the first church I ever served in as a minister, there was an older woman named Annette. On more than one occasion, about halfway through my sermons, she would shake her head in obvious disapproval. Annette would get up out of her seat and walk out the door. But she'd never go home. She'd just wait outside for church to finish, only to come back inside and shake my hand at the door as if nothing had happened at all. After this happened several times over a number of weeks, I eventually asked Annette what the problem was. She exploded at me. Jesus isn't a pot roast. I was even more confused now than before. She said, you call Jesus the Lamb of God, and when I think of a lamb, I think of a roast. Jesus isn't a roast. No, Annette, Jesus isn't a roast. I tried to explain to her what a metaphor was, but really it was like talking to a brick wall. At what point do you reckon the Jews confused a metaphor with a literal interpretation? Well, if it wasn't about the bread in verse 34, they're all now waiting outside with Annette in verse 52. See it with me, verse 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Is Jesus really saying you need to eat him? Is he actually suggesting cannibalism here? Can you believe this was even a conversation? Jesus said, I am the bread of life, the living bread who came down from heaven. Did they think that Jesus was a talking baguette? Jesus isn't being literal. What he says here, though, is of eternal significance. Jesus gives his flesh and blood for the life of the world. He came down from heaven to give life to the world. And Jesus invites us to come and feed on him. Notice all the whoever's there. Verse 54, you got your Bible? Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Verse 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. Verse 57, whoever feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 58, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. But we've already seen Jesus use whoever's, haven't we? Verse 35, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Verse 35, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 37, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Eating and drinking is the same as coming and believing. All these verbs share the same promise. That is, Jesus is extending an open invitation to everyone, whoever they are, wherever they're from, to come and be eternally satisfied in him. But it's not just one person in the crowd now shaking their heads and waiting outside. Look there, verse 60. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Maybe it's hard because they don't understand. Maybe it's hard because they do. Either way, it's no longer the crowd who grumble, it's the disciples who now grumble against Jesus. But if you think this is a controversial teaching, if you're offended by what Jesus is saying here, if you're hard of hearing or this is just hard to hear, Jesus says, this is nothing. Look there, verse 61. Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. You see it there, Jesus says his words are spirit and life. And Jesus knew from the beginning that some of them would believe in him, only those whom were drawn to him by the Father. Those who come never get turned away. But Jesus also knew from the beginning that one would betray him, that one of them was the devil. Jesus was with the Father from the beginning. He'll ascend again to where he was before. And John's already told us this in the beginning of his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 1. Again, the words behind me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Jesus says he's come down from heaven. He says he was sent by the Father. He knew from the very beginning because he was there at the very beginning. But all of this, friends, is just too much for so many. Look there, verse 66. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It is the harsh reality of true discipleship that not everyone on the road will finish the race. Are you okay with that? You okay if people leave us? You okay if people turn back? Jesus invites whoever to come and believe in him, but many will turn back and no longer walk with him. Our culture has conditioned us to think that ministry is only successful when more people come and stay. All we need is the right programs, the right preacher, the right pathways, and the right events. But friends, successful gospel ministry is when more and more people, more and more people look less and less like themselves and more like Jesus. When we accept Jesus' invitation to come and believe, we will find our satisfaction is only in him. There is really nowhere else for us to go. Verse 67. Do you want to leave too? Do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Friends, this morning, I just want us to consider afresh, again, the warm invitation of Jesus that's come straight out of the oven. It's an invitation to whoever. Whoever you are, whoever of you would come. Whoever is a word that is as inclusive as it gets. It includes everyone. Jesus even says everyone. So whether you're just part of the crowd, checking out this guy and who he is, or even if you're already one of his disciples, whoever you are means that you qualify also as a whoever. So Jesus' invitation is for you to come to him. Look there, verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus extends an invitation to come and believe, an open invitation to eat and to drink, a lasting invitation to come and never go hungry, a long-standing invitation to believe and to never thirst. An invitation to a meal is always more than just an invitation to food. You realise that, don't you? Invitations to a meal are invitations to a deeper relationship. If someone invites you to a meal at their place or out somewhere else, make sure you say yes. Because relationships transform us. They change our tastes and our desires and our longings and our satisfactions. A relationship with Jesus not only offers eternal life, but a relationship with Jesus offers us life right now. So when we come, we never go hungry. And when we believe, we never leave thirsty. This is not another invitation to hold a certain doctrine or philosophy or worldview. So often, we confuse knowing God with knowing things about God. But it is a mistake to think understanding and defending the truth is the same thing as knowing who the truth is. When Jesus says, I am the bread of life, it is an invitation into a relationship, an invitation to know someone, not something. He is the one who comes down from heaven. He is the one who gives life to the world. He is the living bread that comes down and invites us to come to him. This morning, I just want us to hear his invitation. No matter where you are with Jesus, he invites you to come. He invites you to believe in him. In a world of limited resources and restrictions, Jesus is still handing out invitations. I am the bread of life. In every situation, at every moment, in all circumstances, you are being invited to come and believe in the bread of life. Because that's the hard work of true discipleship. It's the slow and difficult work of following the crucified Saviour. Jesus not only has the words of eternal life, but he has words for life right now in this moment. Where else have we to go? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, whatever it is that's going on for us in our life right now, busyness, the tiredness, the things still to do, the things that have already been done, the long list of jobs, the deadline approaching, whatever is going on for us. Would you help us to hear the invitation of the Lord Jesus this morning to come to him and to never go hungry, to believe in him and never thirst again. And would you, Lord, so deeply satisfy the inner longings that we all have for more, for appetites that never find their fill. Lord Jesus, would you help us to find our satisfaction in you? And again, wherever we are this morning, whether we've been on the journey with you a long time or whether we're still on the edge, checking all of this out, we thank you that the invitation is to whoever. And so whoever we are, wherever we are, would you help us once more to hear the invitation to come and to have life in the bread of life, who gave his life so that we might have life in him. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.